of Dalet Kislev, Tuesday, 20th of December, Dr. Sholem Springer, Hanukkah, Bitula Shel Torah, Zuhu Kiyoma.
Good morning to you all. My theme this morning is an Inyan in Hanukkah. Broadly, we can give it a title, Bitula Shel Torah, Zuhi Kiyoma, on occasions. Maral points out that when you have a look at the Gemara Shabbos, the Gemara starts off, or the Mishnah starts off, with the halacha, with the mitzvah of Hoitzor. Why Hoitzor? In fact, in the Shulchan Aruch, it's last of the list, Hoitzor. And he explains that Hoitzor is a halacha on Shabbos which distinguishes it from Yom Tov. And that's why the Mechaber of the Mishnah chose it to be first, so that it should be different from Yom Tov. So every occasion has its own particular sort of uniqueness, every Mayed has its own identity. And Rav Huttner points out, and by Shia today comes from the writings of Rav Huttner in the Pachat Yitzchok, it's Mama Gimel, Chelek on Chanukah, and he says that Chanukah also has a sort of global uniqueness in the following way. That we have, until Chanukah, all our Yom Tovim established. Of course, the Shorosh HaGolim, the Shonim Kippur, and by now, of course, 200 years earlier, Purim. So our set of Yom Tovim, which make up our calendar, are missing only one, and that is the Yom Tov, or the Moed, of Chanukah. With the Yom Tov of Chanukah being established, we then have the whole set. And the way he sees it is as we have to go through lots of golos, yeah, in the future, and we know that, even at this time, the prophecies are, of course, we've got to go through a lot of golos later on, and we'll come to the four goloses. And Chanukah is the one that brings us into a situation where we have all the equipment to get from here to there. Oz Egmaya Bashir Mizmaya Chanukas Hamizbeah. We'll sing tonight, Oz Egmaya. At the time of Mashiach, we will then complete the song. That'll be the end of the song. Until then, until Chanukah was established, we didn't have all our toolkit together to get from here right the way through all these goluses until Mashiach. So with that, we've got this. Until Achris HaYomim, then no more Yom Tovim established, and the bridge, so to speak, from here to Mashiach is complete. Now, Chazal tell us, it's Gemara, that the four Shibudim are merumas in the second Pasuk of Bereshis. In that Pasuk, Torah talks about the world as it was in its state of Tohu and Bohu and Choshech and Tohoim. And we are told by Chazal that these four expressions, two of them being confusion, Choshech being darkness, and then Tohoim being depth, correspond to the four Golosan that Klal Yisrael will have to undergo. Tohu is Bovel, Bohu is Paras and Modai, and this is an expression of confusion, because these nations were, they had no real culture, and they were confused in many ways, and these are the nations that overran Klal Yisrael, and we had to bear the golus that entailed. And then we come to the third one, which is Choshech. Choshech, darkness, that the Greeks, with all their gezeiros, were machshich and darkened the eyes of Klal Yisrael. So, you know, we had a period in English history called the Enlightenment. What Chazal is telling us, that this is the Endarkenment. Okay, the time of the Greeks, with all their chokhmah, was in fact shechshicha einayim shel Yisrael begzeiroseihem. And therefore, Klal Yisrael had to undergo another sort of golus. And this was a war of cultures, in fact, rather than a physical war. And finally, Tohoim, depth, refers to the time that the last golus will take place in, which is Edom, the last golus is Edom, which we are in at the moment. And this seems to go on and on and on. It's been already going on for 2,000 years. And that's the reference to Tohoim. Now, interestingly enough, the idea that the golus of Yovan is referred to as Choshech is very strange, because, as we know, Western civilization is in fact the legacy of the Greeks. When I was at school, we used to learn all these geometric theorems, and all these Greek names, you know, everyone knows Pythagoras, of course. We had others like Apollonius and all these sorts of people. They don't learn in schools anymore, I don't think, these proofs of geometry. But we did in school, and we had all these Greek names. So there was Western civilization is a legacy of the Greeks, and their legacy endures in the secular world still today. However, there is a problem that we have in relation to our legacy. The legacy of the Yiddish folk with the Jewish nation follows. Let me just tell you something that the Maharal explains about the difference between the Greeks and the Yidden, and how is it that we came to such a position of conflict. And he explains it in the following way, and this is to explain this sort of darkness. He says, as I, that we have the Greek culture with all their mathematics and physics and all their science. And if you have a look at the Greek culture and how it works, and how any scientist knows how science works, is that you actually look at the things that you're given, the earth, and you try to derive its secrets, you try to draw out its secrets. That's the way it works. You look at patterns, you look at information, you look at data, etc. And from whatever you have, whether it's biological, whether it's physical, whether it's geological, whatever it is, you look at the world and try to work out its laws, the laws of nature. In other words, it's a process of derivation, trying to find things out. Well, that's how science works. You go down the road to the Koinel, and you have a look at what the Koinel are doing, what the Koinelites are doing. But what are they? They're not inventing the laws. They're not inventing the mitzvah, they're not inventing the Torah. They're looking at the Torah and trying to extract the information that the Torah is giving us. In other words, we're trying to extract the mitzvahs and the halachas, etc., from the Torah, from the words of the Torah itself. So you could say, in a certain way, and I'm putting all the lahabdils that one must put in, that the process of what science does, what the Greeks were doing, and the process of what the Talmid HaChachamim were doing, is basically the same. They're looking at material, and from it, deriving information. Okay, for very different objectives, and in a very different method a lot of the time, but the process, the essential process, is the same. And so the Maharal explains that this was the great attraction that the Yidden were faced with at the time of the Hanukkah story, where you had a new ism, a new system of working, a new process, and therefore they were very attracted, and they went over in droves. They were being Hellenized in droves. We're told that, you know, this was almost the beginning of the end, that everybody was going over until the Chachamim decided we've got to do something about this, and so they waged the battle against the Greeks, against enormous odds, as we say in Al-Anisim, and we were victorious. But we're victorious, and of course there's a Nes Chanukah, and then we have the lights of Chanukah, which is another Nes. But the fact is that we can understand, in accordance with the Maharal, what he tells us, that because they were so close, you see, we're the Babylonians, we had no connection at all, they were boors. Yeah, the Babylonians had no real culture that was a Yid was attracted to. And Poros and Modeh, they had fabulous parties, and Megillah tells us about this party which went on for 180 days. Okay, the Yidden had no shaitas really with that. But with the Greeks, then you talked about a dangerous situation where what they were doing was very attractive to a Yid, and therefore the rot had to stop, and this is the Yom Tov of Chanukah. This is how the Maharal explains it, and we could expand on it, and we have, therefore, a background. Now, we also have another tradition as follows, and we're coming now to the writings of Rav Huttner, and he explains it in this following way. Chazal tell us, or intimate to us, that with each of these goluses that we had to undergo, when the golus is finished, it's finished. There is no legacy. In other words, we didn't carry any of the Babylonian cultures into Yardus. You know, at this time of year, sometimes in the very misguided places, you actually see two sets of lights in some people's houses. Yeah? One shaped conically with lights going on and off, another an eighth branched candelabrum, etc. And you see this sort of, you know, integration of other cultures and other customs into, unfortunately, into our religion. But the fact is, we know other religions have always introduced local customs. I mean, in fact, as we know, the particular festival that's coming up in the secular world has got nothing to do, really, with Christianity at all. It's to do with some winter solstice, winter celebration that the old pagans used to celebrate. They integrated things from other cultures in. What we claim is that our Yiddishkeit is pure. We didn't integrate anything from any other cultures. And that means when the Golus Bavel was finished, it was finished. We didn't bring with it something. It's the only thing that I know of that we have still are the names of the months. The names of the months are, Torah refers to the months to Chodesh Rishon, Chodesh Sheni, etc. uses numbers, and we have got Nisan Yosef, and these are really Bavlian names. That's the only thing that we have sort of seemed to have taken with us for some reason, like a common thought it was a good thing. Otherwise, we have no legacy of any of the Golos and Poros and Modai similarly, and therefore the same is true, or should be true, for the Golos of the Greeks, that we take nothing with us. Nothing that they have had any influence on the way we conduct our Yiddishkeit. So it would appear, according to this rule of Chazal, that when a Golos is finished, it's finished. But there's a problem. Let me just introduce it in the following way. The first recorded machlokes among the Chachomim is a machlokes about Smicha and Yom Tov between Yosef ben Yo'ezer and Yosef ben Yochanan. We know these names from Pirkei Avos, and it's Gemara in Chagiga, and this is the first machlokes. Now we can understand that, and this happened during the Bulmashel Yovon, this happened during the Greek Empire and the Greek Golos. So we're talking about 200 years into the second base of Mikdosh, or 200 years before its destruction, approximately, mamash midway. And this is the first recorded machlokes that we have. Now before that, of course, we had Nevi'im to put us right. So there were no machlokes before, because the Nevi'im had the answers. So here is the first machlokes. Why does a machlokes occur? Machlokes occurs because we don't know the answer. We don't know the answer, so we have to apply the brais of Rabbi Shmuel, the rules of the Torah, and the Chachamim will extract the answers using the brayse of Rabbi Shmuel and the rules of the Torah in order to find the answer. And sometimes two Chachamim might come up with two different solutions. And when we get to the tefillah that we're going to start saying tonight, the tefillah of Al HaNisim, we learn there, and if you want to know about a Yom Tov, this is advice that Gimbal Bal Chinuch and others want to know about a Yom Tov, what we do, have a look at the tefillahs and the mitzvahs of the Yom Tov, and you'll see the Yom Tov explained through the eyes of Chachamim. That's the best source of information, apart from actually going to the real sources, but otherwise, want to know about what we're doing, what we say, and what we do, are the most instructive elements of our whole culture, and the way we do things, and the way it works. And we're told in Al HaNisim that the Greeks had two objectives. One was, Lashkicham Torasecha, they wanted us to forget your Torah, those were their objectives. Now, we've just explained that machlokes arises because we forget the Torah. And indeed, the first machlokes that's recorded, taka, happened during the time of Hanukkah. So therefore, it's because of forgetting the Torah that it reconstructed using the brayse of Rabbi Shmuel, the rules of the Torah, and it wasn't just the Masorah that they knew the answer, as previously had been the case with the Nevi'im. Now they have to work it out, and therefore you may get two solutions. So the Shikchas HaTorah is brought about by the Gezeros of the Greek, and the word, you know, for darkness in Hebrew, Choshech and Shikha, have got the same letters, in fact. And this is interesting, because it's a darkness that we have, lack of knowledge, and therefore we have to reconstruct it, and sometimes we will get, you know, different solutions. They say, two rabbis, three opinions. So we know about Machlokes. Now, the fact is, that therefore what I'm saying is, that the first machlokes is brought about, all the machlokes at the time, brought about through Shikchas HaTorah, and that was the objective of the Greeks. So the Greeks are winning at this moment. Yeah, they are achieving what they set out to do, that we forget the Torah, and here we have the evidence of it with Yosef ben Yehuda and Yosef ben Yochanan in having a machlokes. Okay, we understand that during the time of Hanukkah, fair enough, the Greeks are winning for a time, until the Mahapecha, until the victory, etc. But the fact is that we've had machlokes ever since. Yeah, we have machlokes all down the ages. You know, rabbis always argue. We know the Mishnah is full of it, the Gemara is full of it to the present day. Poskim will argue about Psak. So it appears that our rule is violated. The rule being that once a Golos is over, it's over. There's no legacy left over. And yet it seems that the legacy of the Greeks endures till the present day. So it appears that the Greeks did win in the end. Lashkicham Torasecha, the fact that there is machlokes. Is this true? Is this a fact? When we look a little bit deeper, you know, we'll find that the very opposite is true. And this is the title of our shiur today. Bitula shel Torah zuhi kayoma. That is a quote from the Gemara Menachos. Sometimes, you're mevatel Torah, and that gives rise to its kayoma, the fact that it will endure. And what the Gemara is talking about there is the following. It's a story everyone here knows. Grew up on this story, Saluchois Asher Shibarato, Moshe Rabbeinu came down the mountain, and he broke the Luchois. He didn't just break the Luchois. those who are valedictor will know that it's a luchos asher shibarta. We're talking shibarta means it's pier, strong, active. Yeah. In other words, he bring down those luchos and he saw what was going on, and he grabbed those luchos and smashed them to smithereens. That's the story. Now let's think about that story for a moment. This is the culmination of all the Rabbeinu Shloim's work, through the Makos Mitzrayim, through Kriyas Yamsuf, and the extraction of Klal Yisrael, and at last, you know, we've got them to the mountain. We brought Klal Yisrael to the mountain, and there Moshe Rabbeinu is going to bring down the luchos, the objective of the whole shooting match, so to speak. Everything, the objective was, get us into this position. What does Moshe Rabbeinu do? He sees them misbehaving a bit, so he takes these luchos and smashes the luchos. You'd expect that the Rabbeinu Shalom would scold him, the Rabbeinu Shalom would give him a telling off, as we used to say, tatten's tatten arayim. You know, you would have thought that Rabbeinu Shalom really let fly. Instead, say Chazal, just the opposite happened. What if Rashi brings the Gemara? Rashi says, Asheshi Barto. It's super strong here. Yeah, it's you actually broke the Ruba Chazoka, Ye Yasha Koichacha Asheshi Barto. Rabbeinu Shalom says to Moshe Rabbeinu, congratulations. Shkreise Shkoyach, from where we get the word Shkoyach. Thank you very much. So, you know, very far from what we would have expected. And Chazal tell us the following. This is another Gemara, but it all ties together. Gemara says the following. We're going to make it worse before we make it better. Il mole nishtabru haluchais, had it not been for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu broke these luchais, lohoiso mishtacheches v'Yisrael, that there would have been no forgetfulness of the Torah among Klal Yisrael. Were it not for Moshe Rabbeinu breaking those luchos, those luchos rishonos, we would never have forgotten any word of the Torah. So it appears that Moshe Rabbeinu has done us a great disservice. He broke the luchos, and now we're capable, we've introduced the capacity to forget the Torah. So he hasn't done us any favours, and yet the Rabbeinu Shlomo is saying congratulations. What is going on? Something very, very odd is going on. So the smashing of the luchos gives rise to the ability, to the capacity of Klal Yisrael to forget the Torah. Surely it would have been much better had he not broken the luchos. We would never have forgotten anything. Imagine the Kol HaTorah Kula, we remember everything. And let's have a look at the need to reconstruct. Now that we do forget, we've got to reconstruct it. And as I mentioned, the price of Rabbi Shmuel is terribly important. That's how we reconstruct the Torah. Kal v'chomer, Gezeira Shoveh, etc. And all these methods, we look into the text of the Torah, and what do? We apply the rules of Rabbi Shmuel, and out comes the halacha. That's how it works. And as an example of this forgetting of the Torah, Tana, Elef v'sheva, v'sheva meis, kalin v'chamurim, Gezeiris Shoveh, v'dikduke soifrim, there were 700 different halachas that we've forgotten. Ishtakhu bimei avloi sheevloi shel Moshe Rabbeinu. During the time of the avelus of Moshe Rabbeinu, we forgot these 700 different facets of the Torah. Om Rabbi Avohu, achal pikein. Yes, we did forget. That's true. Hechziron Osniel ben Kenas mitoich pilpuloi. The Osniel ben Kenas reconstructed mitoich pilpuloi. Through logical reasoning, and obviously the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel plays a very big part, he reconstructed everything that was forgotten during Eveloi Shel Moshe. So you can see how the process works. We forget the Torah, because of all the reasons that mentioned, and Golos is a very large factor, but Osniel Ben Kenas is able to reconstruct them through Pilpuloi, through his ability to reason and work it out, the ER methods to work it out. And Taka the Mishnah says, or the rather Gemara says, Afal Pisha Alola Matarim, Vahalola Matamim. You've got this group of Tanoim, they're Matar, and this group of Tanoim say it's Tome, this group of Tanoim say Poitrim, this says Machayevim, this says Machshirim, this is Poitrim, Elu, the Elu, Divre, the Himchaim. So these both are talking Torah. Both of them have got a basis what they say. And therefore we know that the rejected opinion, there we've got the Shammai Basil, especially in relation to Chanukah, we've got two different methods of lighting the menorah, whether going down, going from 8 to 1, or from 1 to 8, that we've got these machlokes all the time, and that we pass in light Basil for certain reasons, but the fact is that a bach in yeshiva, a person in kollel, or whatever, at night when you learn, we will spend as much time on base Shammai's shitta, the shitta that we reject, as we do on the shita that we accept. This is very, very important to us. The rejected opinion is terribly important. That is Torah as well. The fact that we don't paskin like that is a different issue. But it's just as much Torah. Beishamai's Torah was just as important, just as authentic, and just as effective as was Beisilel's Torah. Only we've got to make a choice as to what we, who we paskin like. And so therefore, this is all very important. This is all Pilpulo Shel Torah, which is extremely important. And paradoxically, the knowledge of Torah is enhanced by the fact that we have dispute. The fact that we have Machlokes, it's enhanced. We got this Gemara when Rosh Lakish was Nifter, Rosh Lakish of Yochanan had this fantastic Chavrusa, and the Gemara in Baba Tzia, Daf Pei Dalet, talks about the time when Rosh Lakish was Nifter, and Rav Yochanan was inconsolable. The Gemara goes like this, Noch Nafshei Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Rosh Lakish died, Rohoyukum Mitztair Rav Yochanan Basrei Tuvo. And Rav Yochanan was terribly affected by his death. Tuva, very, very much. Omra Bonon, Man Lezel, Lisve, Ledaite. What can we do about this? Nezel, Ravilozov, and Ptos. They've got to find him a new Chavrusa. The man's going to pieces. Rav Yochanan's going to pieces. We've got to find him a new Chavrusa. And they put together with him this Amira called Ravilozov ben Ptos. The Mahadrin Shmatzeh, he can revise, he can go over, he can chaza the Shmaitzer, the Indian again with him. Ozel Yosef Kameh. So Rav Elazar ben Pados did that, sat with him, and learned with Rav Yochanan. Kol Milsa, to have Omar Rav Yochanan, everything Rav Yochanan said, Omale, Rav Elazar ben Pados would say, Tanya de Masailach, I've got a raya for you. And he found a raya here, and he found a raya there, whatever Rav Yochanan said, Rav Elazar ben Pados would find a raya for him. So, Rav Yochanan reacted in the following. Omar, he said, At Kavar Lakisha, you're meant to be a replacement for Resh Lakish. Bar Lakisha, and what would Resh Lakish do? He have a mila milsa. Whenever I said anything, have a maksha li esrim v'arba kushaisa. He would ask me 24 questions from different parts of the Torah. And Taka, I would have to give him 24 answers. V'afrikale esrim v'arba. He really put me on my mettle. He really, you know, made me work. I could give him 24 answers for my shitta. Now, I know what I'm saying is right, and you give me a Messiah, you give me proofs of what I'm right. I don't need that at all. I want the Melchamta Shel Torah. I need to be pushed. I need to be tested. I need to have this stress of Torah. That's what makes the Inyan much, much clearer. And Mela, Havarach HaShemaitzah, when Rish Lakish did what he did, that's when the Shemaitzah, that's when the Inyan became clear. When I worked it through and had to give all these answers against his attacks, that's when it became clear. You keep agreeing with me, no use at all. So what we see from this is the fact that what these Amoraim were doing, they didn't want to win. The winning wasn't the point. They wanted to make sure that they had the truth. They were Mavavakshe or Emes. Although I'm running out of time, but I would like to tell you the story, probably a very well-known story, about Rav Isaac Charif. Rav Isaac Charif, who was the Rav of Slonim, was looking for a shidduch for his daughter. Very intelligent young lady, needed somebody special, and he couldn't find anybody in Slonim. So he went to the Netziv Yeshiva in Volozhin, big yeshiva, big in those days, not as big as these days, but a big yeshiva in its time. And he asked the Netziv if he could arrange a good bacha for his daughter. And Netziv says, oh, I can't do this for you, I don't have your daughter, I don't know what you want, you must do your own investigations. So being a big Talmud Chochim, went to the Beis HaMedrash, found out what they were learning, clapped on the shtender and said, I've got a kasha for you all. Yeah, and he asked the whole yeshiva, a kasha. Yeah, what we'd call in Yiddish a bomber kasha. Yeah, a real killer kasha, so to speak. You know, it was a stunning kasha. And he says, anybody who's got an answer to this should come to my room where I'm staying. Anyway, before long, there was a stream of bochim, a few of bochim, and they all wanted to give this answer. He heard one, he heard next one, etc. And he wasn't very happy. By the evening, he fancied going home. He says, and see, you know, I'm going, I'm not finding anything here. Revach v'atzol yama yohidim v'mochim achim, perhaps I should go home. And Sif says, have a good old, dear patience, come on, stay another day, maybe the entire thing, but anyway, he stayed another day. And next day again, there was a queue of Bochrim, and he wasn't happy. By midday, he decided to pack his bags, get on his wagon, told his balagola, right, drive off. And he's clip-topping out of the yeshiva, going down the road, and all of a sudden the door of the yeshiva opens, and this Bochur comes out of the yeshiva, running after the carriage. And Reza Khari sees him, and says to the Balagola, stop, slow down. Maybe he's got the tents. This boy's got the tents. He's running. He's coming, and they pull down the window. He says, no, we've got the terrorists. The boss says, no. He says, why have you come?
He says, "That's such a wonderful kasha. I can't let you leave town without hearing the teretz." "Ah, you're the bochaik. You're the bochamlik. You're the mavakish. We see from the stories of Amoraim, they didn't want to win. Winning wasn't the name of the game. It was finding the truth. Mavakish." So we're talking about Resh Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, and we're told that this is the Mechamta Shel Torah. This enhances the Torah. This makes the sugya become clear. And therefore, the forgetting that we are talking about is not the legacy of the Greeks. The forgetting of the Torah is the congratulations that the Rabbi Shem gave to Moshe Rabbeinu. You've done us a service. Because had we had to go through a Golus, and all we had was a great big rule book, yeah? Rule book, every single possible thing that you can imagine. Yeah, 5 foot long, 5 foot wide, a rule book. All the deen in it. Everything as the Nevi'im put it, as the Nevi'im told us, and as the halacha is, in massive Shulchan Aruch, with every conceivable situation recorded in it. You know what happened to that book? It'd been on the shelf and nobody would have read it. What's kept us going is the Melchamta Shel Torah. That the Moshe Rabbeinu smashed those luchos, paving the way for us being part of that Melchamta Shel Torah. And the chiddush that comes out of that, that is born from Moshe Rabbeinu's action. That's why the Rabbeinu Shlomo said, "Congratulations to Moshe Rabbeinu. You've done us a great favor. In fact, you have provided the survival kit for Klal Yisrael. Now they're going to get through that Tehillim. Now they're going to get through that 2,000-year Golus, and possibly a bit more." Yeah, 2,000-year Golus, because it's a little bit over 2,000 already, is it not? And they'll get through that because Torah is vibrant. Torah is alive, and you keep it alive through the fact that, yes, we don't know the whole Torah, and we have forgotten the Torah, but that was a favour to us, nothing to do with the Greeks at all. What they achieved was very short-lived. What we've got is something that Moshe Rabbeinu introduced, which is the creativity, the force of creativity. Al-Kain Yoim Ruba Sefer Mechamas Hashem Atva Vehev Vesufo. It's Pasuk in Chukas that the Gemara Darshan's in Kedushin, that, you know, two people are sitting together and they're really having a row about the pshat in the Gemara, and at the end of the day, when they find out the truth, they find out the emes, they're the best of friends. They might sort of glare at each other, daggers, they're looking daggers in each other, I'm right, etc. But at the end of the day, when they find the truth, they're the best of friends. And, you know, there are lots of stories about, one of them about the window cleaner that was polishing the windows of the yeshiva, and he saw these two bottoms squaring up to each other and waving their fists and shouting. He says, "Bill, come up here, there's going to be a fight." Okay, and so, far from it, they are actually working it out. And this is, in fact, exactly what we have, which is the creative process that's born by the fact that we do forget Torah, but we've got to recreate it, and it's the recreation process that has ensured that we have a kit for survival until Moshiach. And so, Golus Yavon might have brought Choshech. What we have today is not an extension or a legacy of Golus Yavon, quite the contrary. And the Ness of the Lights and the Mitzvah of the Chanukah Light is just to say that. Yavon brought Choshech. Yeah, the third item in the Pasuk is Choshech. Yavon brought darkness to the world, and it is so, therefore, apposite, it's so appropriate for the Chachomim to introduce a mitzvah which is light. And that light symbolizes that we don't anymore suffer from the Choshech of Yavon. We have completely dispelled it. A light can dispel a great deal of darkness. We've been completely redeemed. We've been completely emancipated from the Choshech of Yavon. And that's the victory of Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. Shikchas HaTorah can sometimes bring Bitulish HaTorah Zuhi Kayomo. As one great statesman in this country once said, we have snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. It's exactly the same thing we have now managed. We, Rabbi Shem, has given us the wherewithal to give us. That the downfall of Yavon is identical with the downfall of Bovel and Modai. We don't have anything of those goddesses left at all. And it ensures that Torah remains vibrant and alive. Compared to that, to the Magna Carta. Anybody know the Magna Carta? Do you know when the Magna Carta was signed? Can anybody here quote the Magna Carta? I doubt it. Yeah, it's a dead letter. Really dead letter. Maybe, you know, great historians or place. Scholars may quote it or have a look at it, but nobody has any knowledge of the Magna Carta at all. Compare that with the Torah. Yeah? People learning as they are. So, it's this toolkit. We'll finish off. Perhaps I've just got time to tell you a story, a bit over time, but I started late. It's previous Baal Dash. There's a story that I once heard that this rabbi bumped into this student. It was one of these eternal students, one degree, another in Eretz Yisrael. He had no shots of Torah at all, completely fry young man. And he went from one place to another, one university to the other, got this degree, that degree, and an eternal student. Anyway, he thought he'd invite him just to see, to have a look at the yeshiva. So he brought him along, maybe it's Mir, maybe he brought him along to see Mir. Anyway, this student who has been used to libraries, maybe, say a word. Be very, very quiet. Anyway, he brought him up the stairs of Mir and they opened the door. Can you imagine what he saw? The pandemonium! Yeah, the screaming, shouting, seeing people walking up and down. And the student is looking at this chaos, this, you know, cacophony of sounds. And the Rosh Yeshiva looks at him sideways, the rabbi looks at him sideways, going, oh, you know, I made a big mistake here. You know. Anyway, they go downstairs and then the student turns to the rabbi and the rabbi thinks he's going to get some sort of onslaught. And the student says, you know what I saw? In my time, I've seen inspiring teachers, inspiring lecturers. This is the first time in my life that I'm actually seeing inspired students. This was amazing. Don't know what became of him, but that's the story. And this is it. Oz Egmaier, B'Shir Mizmaier, Chanukah Samizbeah. There will come a time when we will finish the song, and it will be the song of Mashiach, the song of our redemption, and we will continue to make Torah vibrant and something that we can live by, and have our culture and our standards and maintain our standards. The Dios Goel Tzedek and Hayri Yimei.